unlicensed micropower radio.
Special thanks to the Santa Cruz Independent Media Center for audio help with that story. And now, here's this week's Fast Fact. Surveys of journalists and the public they serve show a clear fear of media consolidation. 73% of journalists believe that buyouts of news organizations by big diversified corporations has a negative effect on journalism. And in a public survey done 4 years ago, 86% of people were at least somewhat concerned about media mergers, with half saying they were highly concerned, showing that the problem isn't new and it's not getting any better. You've been listening to Media Minutes, a joint production of the Illinois Initiative for Media Policy Research at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization dedicated to media democracy. For more information, visit our website at freepress.net.
Okie dokie, I'm Bob McChesney. You're listening to Media Matters Today on WILL AM 580, and you've just were listening to the very first edition of Media Minutes, which will be a new segment we'll be airing every week here on Media Matters at 101, from 101 to 106. We've been on the air, as some of you know, for the last hour. We're going now our standard time until 2 o'clock here, and it is pledge drive. And we've got John Nichols on the phone from Madison talking to us about electropolitics, what's coming up, and media issues. The number here for the pledge drive, again, 217-244-9455. And we're going to go to Pledge Central in a few seconds. But first, we've got John Anderson here, who is the producer of Media Minutes. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bob.
And so give me a sense of what's this show going to be covering every week?
Well, we're hoping to cover issues of media policy that affect the public or that can educate the public. We're looking at things like various reform efforts, various media policy activism efforts. And basically, the format is going to be 5 minutes, and we're going to try to get into 3, maybe 4 stories to talk about these issues, talk to people who are actively working on these issues, and hopefully educate the public in how they can get involved in helping to change the media environment in a greater democratic fashion.
Now, you come from the world of commercial radio, originally, is that correct?
Yes. Actually, I graduated from college, my undergraduate degree, in 1996, the year the Telecom Act was passed. Mm-hmm. They didn't tell me about that in class. And I watched newsrooms wither and die on the vine, and I realized that the farther up in market size you got, the less of a journalist you were and the more you were an entertainer or a personality. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't handle it anymore, so I left in 2000.
I mean, you've really lived the life of a journalist. I hear from journalists all over this country, in radio especially, in television, that what's happening with consolidation of ownership is basically destroying the craft. And that's why you find so many people like yourself coming to community stations, to public stations, and on commercial stations. It's the only place they have can do the work they want to do, the craft
and of journalism. And it's the only place that offers a job nowadays.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the great irony of that.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Well, thank you so much, John. We're going to be talking to you regularly. And what we're going to do now, John Nichols, you still there?
I sure am.
Do you have a question or comment about Media Minutes?
Hey, I think it's good. Do you have any idea how many stations it's going to be on? What's the?
Well, we're negotiating with Sinclair right now.
Really? 62 right there.
Yeah, but
the goal
is
to take it out.
Yeah, we'll be the counterpoint to the point.
I just think it's a great idea because I do believe that. This is one of the fascinating things we see in the media all over the country now is that there's a lot of independent and community stations, public broadcast, local community stations, that have a committed base of activists who want to put the programming on. But what they have a challenge with is getting feeds nationally and, you know, getting something like what you guys are doing. Mm-hmm. So I would assume there's going to be a tremendous market for it.
No, we certainly hope so. And again, thanks for coming in, John.
No problem.
I think, Jay, we need to go to Pledge Central now. We've got an update from the people in the Central Headquarters.
Yes, we are out in Central Headquarters. We've had 44 calls in, actually, Bob, during that first hour.
There.
That's terrific. And we've got a couple of challenges we'd like to announce also. We've had a caller from Muhammad who will add $20 for every new member between now and 2 p.m. for a total of up to $200.
Terrific.
So let us know if you're a new member. Now's a great time to join. We also have heard from Terry Davis from Town Square Jewelers down in Charleston. He will double his very generous pledge if we hear from 4 other jewelry stores during Media Matters this hour. So let us know if you're calling in for your business and your jewelry store. The other encouraging thing, Bob, is and John, is that we're hearing from folks from all over the place, not just from folks like Daniel James from Urbana. Thanks, Dan, and Charles Seagard from Champaign. We've heard from Ken Green in Saybrook. We've heard from Chester Always and Muhammad. Thanks a lot, Chet, a good supporter of the station. Barbara Lawrence from Charleston. We've heard from Maureen Holtz from Monticello. We've heard from Frank Gentner in Ottawa, up in Ottawa. Thanks very much, Frank. And we've heard from Jonathan Dury, and Jonathan lives in San Diego, California, and he's listening to us on the internet. Thanks a lot. And so things are happening. You can get through right now, though. Our lines are open at 217-244-9455.
And I'd like to remind our listeners that if you do call in and pledge, that we have three books. So you'll have your choice of them if you make the standard $60 pledge. One is John Nichols' brand-new book, Dick, the Man Who's President, published by New Press. And if I may say so, and I granted I'm prejudiced, it's one of the best books I've read, and I really enjoyed it. I think it's one of the great reads. If you like politics, if you're interested in media, this is a book. This is going to be pure pleasure. This is not an assigned reading book.
Well, if I can tell you my favorite circumstance that's developed, even conservative critics, who have not loved the book in every way, have generally been pretty generous about the writing. But one of the lines they keep using is, "This is Fahrenheit 9/11 in print," mm-hmm. and or a Fahrenheit 9/11 for Cheney. Mm-hmm. And I think they think of that as a criticism. I take it as the greatest possible praise. I was with Michael Moore last night when he spoke to 7,000 people here in Madison, and I think that I hope that what Dick does is begin to do the examination of Dick Cheney that's going to be needed. Whether this administration wins or loses, we've got to take a serious look at what this man has done to our government and the ways in which he has warped our policymaking. And frankly, if a Kerry administration comes in, we have to do a lot of work to make sure that the Cheney imprint is taken off the federal government on things like energy policy, judicial appointments, tax policy, because if it's left there, it will warp our future in ways that I think most Americans can't even begin to imagine.
You know, John, you just said you were with Michael Moore last night in Madison before 7,000 people. He's in the middle of a slacker uprising tour, I think 60 or 70 dates over 4 weeks, mostly in the swing states like Wisconsin. And I know at the same time we've got leading musicians, Bruce Springsteen, the Dixie Chicks, traveling around the country doing concerts basically in favor of the Kerry campaign. Do you think this is having any effect?
Well, I think the Moore thing last night was pretty remarkable. I've actually seen Kerry and Edwards come out and do events that didn't draw as many people. So I do think that we have a phenomenon that's taking place in this country where, especially in the outreach to younger voters, there's an effort to, you know, put people up front who are willing to speak a lot more bluntly than candidates are. And frankly, what Moore had to say was far more aggressive, far more passionate than a lot of what you've heard from the Kerry-Edwards ticket. And I think it has an impact. I do think it takes young people who, you know, might be asking whether it's worth the effort to go vote and gives them a little bit of meat and puts somebody they trust in front of them, giving them some information. The same goes for the rock concerts. You know, this Voices for Change tour that Springsteen and others have been involved with, it doesn't, you know, jam a lot of politics down people's throats. It essentially is a lot of music with a few basic messages kind of mixed in. And I think that's a very effective way to do politics. You know, what we need in this country is to find ways to get to that 50% of Americans that don't usually vote in presidential elections. And the thing I love about the 2004 race, and this is true on both the left and the right, is that I think both sides are making a more aggressive effort to reach out beyond their base of traditional voters. The frustration I have with this year, and this is something Moore talked a lot about last night, is that especially the Republicans seem to be extremely frightened by the massive new registrations they're seeing among young people, and particularly in black neighborhoods of urban areas. And so there's a lot of efforts to kind of crack down on new voters, to kind of make it tougher for them to get to the polls, to make it tougher for them to get that vote registered and counted. And so I think that the election on November 2nd is going to be a really intense one, and there's going to be a lot of battling back and forth. I fear we face a real prospect that the 2004 race, much like the 2000 race, won't be finished on the night of November 2nd.
We're talking to John Nichols today on Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. This is a pledge drive week for Media Matters. We need you to step up to the plate. If you have not called in, Please make the call now, 217-244-9455. If you have called in, I love you. I wish you were here. I would hug you. I think you're a wonderful human being. I think you have great karma, and I think you can sit back in peace and feel not a shred of Calvinist or Lutheran guilt, and you can enjoy yourselves. And you can listen. We have a caller I want to take right now who's a colleague of yours, John, at The Nation magazine, and who's been a guest on the show, Eric Alderman. Hey, Eric. Oops. Eric, you there?
I'm here, but I don't want a hug.
No, you won't get one, don't worry. Okay. You haven't given us any money.
Yeah, that's true.
So you're safe. Well, Eric, thank you for calling. I know you don't have much time, but I just, you know, just wanted to let you call in and just your sense of where the election's going right now. I know you've been covering it as closely as anyone.
Well, my sense is, and at this point we're all flying blind, my sense is because of the efforts that John was just talking about, that the polls aren't telling us what we need to know, that it's so close everywhere that it will depend on really two things. One is both sides' ground game, quote-unquote, which means getting their people out to vote. The Democrats and the 527s, like America's Coming Together, have done a very good job of registering new voters, more so than in any other campaign I've ever seen. And I think that ought to make the difference and elect Kerry. I think that ought to. But the Republicans will do everything they can to prevent new voters from voting in places. And I still fear that the margin of error could be held by Nader supporters. I do think that Nader's hovering from between 1% and around 2.5%. In some places, he's as high as 5%. And Kerry just doesn't have that margin of error. And I tell you the truth, I just don't get it. All of the arguments that were there for Nader 4 years ago, which, as you know, I was very critical of then, are not there anymore. He's not building a new party. He's not building an alternative. He doesn't even claim to do. He's running on the formerly nativist ticket of the Reform Party. He doesn't have the support of any of his high-profile supporters, and he certainly can't claim that there's not a dime's worth of difference between these two candidates, as he claimed last time. George Bush may have been able to fool some people 4 years ago, but now he's got a record, and it's an incredibly radical one. So I don't know, maybe you've got some insight into this, Bob, but I just don't get it. I mean, I'm not in love with John Kerry. I certainly have major differences with him, but I can tell the difference between two candidates, and that's really my major concern on the left this year. I'm going to Florida tomorrow to give a talk. In the hopes of making this point over and over, but I have an exchange. Maybe you saw it in The Nation this week with the head of the Nader campaign, and I just find their arguments to be as divorced from reality as those of George Bush.
You know, let's bring John in here. John, you're in Wisconsin. This is a state that actually could come down to literally a thousand votes settling it if Bush makes a surge there
very easily.
And then, do you think Eric's concern would hold true there?
Well, I think Eric's concern is real. I mean, the fact is that it is very possible now, if you look at the polling out of the battleground states, and I count 8 states in which the polling is close enough and kind of goes back and forth enough that a 1% or 2% vote for Ralph Nader could be equal to the number of votes that that makes a difference. So you've got 8 states, 8 battleground states where that's reality, certainly enough to tip the presidential election. I think when all is said and done, though, and I think Eric's been an awfully big part of this, it is very unlikely that many people are going to vote for Ralph Nader by mistake. I think we're going to see a great dwindling of the level of Nader support. I don't know how low it's going to go, but I do suspect you're now down into the true believers. And I saw Michael Moore last night, who was a Nader backer in 2000, do a remarkable job for about a half hour of kind of engaging, you know, in this large crowd of people, the small portion who were Nader supporters, and saying, you know, look, guys, it may feel good to vote for Ralph Nader because he's pure, you know, he's right on every issue. But understand, voting isn't about feeling good. And his analogy was that, you know, when you were 14 years old, right, you'd think, you know, oh, God, I can do this. It'd be a lot of fun. And your parents would tell you, you know, some actions that only take 5 minutes have lifelong consequences. I believe he was making a sex reference. But I think it was actually very effective because he was saying, you know, look, it might be fun and easy to vote for Ralph Nader. It might even make you feel good for 5 minutes. But if you reelect George Bush, that's lifelong consequences. And I think there's a lot of people, Eric, Moore, others, who are delivering that message. And I bet you come Election Day, you're going to see a very small Nader.
Well, I hope you're right. I'm
laughing. Yeah, you know, it's the challenge you've got in front of you, Eric.
Well, Eric, I want to thank you for calling in on our pledge drive day here at WILL, and we'll be in touch and hope to have you as a guest on the show again soon.
Thanks for everything you do, Bob.
All right. Thanks, Eric. And we are a pledge drive, as I said, and I just got the word from central headquarters here. They sent down their courier.
Uh-oh.
And we have 51 callers. That means we need 49 callers in the next...
Actually, Bob, I think 49 is kind of a low... I mean, you don't want to just meet the number.
Yeah, that's just rock bottom. So I'm allowed to use the men's room
here.
Just
as you tried to do. You know, I mean, I think we can do a lot better. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to say is, by the way, what is that phone number?
The number is 217-244-9455. Our phone lines are wide open. We've got a staff down there that's been loaded up with caffeine and is ready to go.
They can take those calls fast?
They can take them fast, and they'd love to. And remember, we have for a $60 pledge, you can have a copy of John Nichols' brand-new book, Dick, the Man Who's President, published by New Press to tremendous acclaim, or a copy of either of my new books, The Problem of the Media, or Our Run Free Press, which I co-edited with Ben Scott, which is an anthology of the greatest press criticism of the last 100 years. We've got 10 phones wide open with operators at each of them waiting to hear from people. And I just want to repeat that, 90% of the people who listen to the show never contribute. If you don't have a lot of money, we understand. We aren't expecting you to break into your savings account. But anything you can give us that you can afford will help. Just think of the value of this show, of this station, of this commentary. You're listening to it. Obviously, you have valuable time. We need to pay our bills to have guests like John on, to have people calling in like Eric, to get new equipment here so we can handle more callers. None of this is free. Our budgets here, as you probably know, at WILL have been cut to the bone over the last few years. We're increasingly dependent on callers. We need callers to do it. We need our listeners to support us. We don't want to have underwriters. Believe me, the last thing I ever want on this show is, a diaper service or something bankrolling it. I want this to be purely caller-driven. It's not going to ever go commercial. But that means we need people to step up to the plate at 217-244-9455. Say, yeah, I stand for Media Matters. I want this sort of programming. And I want to have a chance to have a show like this spread to other stations, to have this become more commonplace on the NPR network. And I want to have more local content. And the local content, which is the heart and soul of what WINL does so well, that's what costs money. The cheap route is just to run a robot station, a public clear channel, and just beam in the shows from Washington or New York. The tough stuff, the stuff that's really valuable, is getting local journalists, people in the community, covering the community. That's what WILL does, that costs money, and that's where we need people in the community to say, I want that. I want my community covered, and I don't want to marinate it in a bunch of advertising. So the number, again, 217-244-9455. They set the bar high for us, 100 calls for 2 hours, an all-time record for WILL by a wide margin. And this is like Barry Bonds staring down 73 home runs a couple of years ago. But we're ready for it. Our listeners are ready for it. We've been waiting for this challenge. We enjoy this challenge. We're ready to go out and raise the money, get the show the support for this type of broadcasting, for this type of radio. John, I want to go back to the Senate race, and I want to talk about Sinclair before we get off. But one Senate race that was considered a slam dunk for the Republicans was Kentucky.
Yeah, and that is the best thing.
And we've got listeners down there because our signal does stretch right across the river.
Get out of here. All right. Well, these are people we need to be talking to.
Yeah, it's a really amazing story with what's happening in the Kentucky race.
This is something people ought to be excited about. And again, I don't mean to keep banging on our media, but I wish our media in the United States covered politics as opposed to just, personalities and horse race stuff. Something dramatic is shifting in Senate races around the country, but the biggest shift is in Kentucky. And it's just flat out amazing. Now, you're a sports junkie. You know Jim Bunning.
Know him well.
And a great baseball player, lousy senator, by all accounts. He's been in the Senate for one term. He was very narrowly elected back in 1998. And when he got elected to the Senate, he was a pretty standard right-wing Republican, not a particularly exciting figure. But by all accounts, in the last year or so, he's began to suffer from some form of mental degeneration. People aren't quite clear what it is, but I'm not... Isn't that some sort of extreme statement by me?
This is not a pejorative comment. This is actually literally a medical...
No, it's a big buzz in Kentucky. In fact, the daily newspapers, like the Courier-Journal in Louisville and the Lexington Herald, have been kind of raising this concern about dementia. But what's going on, without making judgments on a guy, within the last couple months, Bunning has, when he visited the Quilters Hall of Fame in Paducah, Kentucky, mm-hmm. Requested additional police protection because Al-Qaeda might attack him there. Then he was asked about his Democratic opponent, who happens to be of Italian heritage. And he said, well, he looks like Uday and Qusay Hussein, Saddam Hussein's sons, and he dresses like them, too. he just had repeatedly weird statements. He charged the other day that supporters of his opponent, Dan Mongiardo, had attacked and beaten his wife at a political picnic a month or so ago. But there are pictures of his wife leaving the picnic looking in fine shape. I mean, just bizarre statements culminating in a debate last Monday where Bunning was supposed to come back to Kentucky and debate Dan Mongiardo, who's this very, you know, appealing state senator, a physician, attractive candidate in a lot of ways. Bunning had promised to be there for the debate. Then his aides called up and said he can't come to the debate because he has votes to meet in Washington. But there were no votes. And then they demanded that if he did participate in the debate via satellite, that the Mongiardo campaign agree not to use any video from the debate in television commercials, and all sorts of other rules. The Mongiardo campaign actually accepted all the rules. Then Bunning comes on the debate, and he demanded that the camera only focus on his face. And people are like, well, why is he doing this? It was only afterward that people found out he had a teleprompter in front of him, and he was actually getting his statements fed to him by aides throughout the debate. So there's this very strong sense that Bunning has just sort of lost it. And in the last few days, the two major daily newspapers in the state both endorsed Mongiardo for the U.S. Senate. This is a remarkable phenomenon that a challenger who just a couple weeks ago had no money and was really an uphill race.
It was like 20 or 30 points down, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, well, it was always a little closer than that because Bunning was he's a mean guy and people didn't like him that much.
He was a mean pitcher, too.
Yeah, well, but now it's the line is that the race is within about 6 points. And this could be the most dramatic political upset of the year. And this Mongiardo is a really fascinating figure. He's a working-class kid, went to medical school, and instead of moving off to some suburb of Cleveland or Chicago to make a lot of money, he went back to his home turf of Hazard, Kentucky, to deliver care to the elderly miners in rural Kentucky. And he knows the healthcare system up and down. It looks like if he makes it to the Senate, he could be quite a contributor.
You know, John, I think our Kentucky listenership has plummeted because the number of callers we've had since we've talked about this race is collapsed. We now have no phone lines busy.
We better get back into talking about
10 lines wide open. 10 callers can call in and get an operator waiting for them. This is Pledge Time Drive here on WILL AM 580. We only do it a couple times a year. And here it is, Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. We come to you twice a year and ask you for your support, to show that you support this type of programming, that you support public radio, non-commercial broadcasting, that you support locally oriented local public radio as well, which is what WILL does, I think, as well as any station in the country. But it only happens if you call and support us. We have a drive here. You know, Jay Pierce, the station manager, just put a note in front of me that says that they figured out the budget, and it costs $93 to support an hour to run WILL radio.
$93?
So $93 is what it costs for a single hour.
Yeah.
So if someone's thinking, well, what would be a nice thing? Man, if everyone just could support a couple hours and say, you know, like people give like a square inch on this turnpike, you know, you can support, you can get an hour of WILL here. Whatever you want to do, but for $60, if you do make that pledge, you can get a copy of John Nichols' brand new book, Dick, the Man Who's President, an exceptional book about Vice President Cheney, a critical look at his history and his tradition. Or you can get a copy of my brand new book, The Problem of the Media by Bob McChesney, or the book I co-edited with Ben Scott, Our Unfree Press, which is an anthology of the very best media criticism in the last 100 years in the United States. I think it's a tremendous read. And either any of those three books are yours for a $60 pledge today at 217-244-9455. If you pledge $120, you can actually get all three books. Do you want to go back to Pledge Center and see what the latest news is?
Yes, let's do that. We're up to, I think, 55, 56 calls in?
57.
57 calls in so far. So, and we've got a couple of challenges, too, guys. Bert from Muhammad is going to add $20 for every new member between now and 2 p.m., up to $200. That's 10 new members. We've heard from five, so we can take five more new members on that challenge. It's a very generous one from Bert. He'll add $20 to your pledge. And Terry Davis from Town Center, Town Square Jewelers and down in Charleston is challenging four other jewelry stores to pledge during Media Matters, and he'll double his generous pledge. We've heard from two so far. Our buddies at Christopher's Fine Jewelry Design, thank you very much, here in Champaign, is one of them. Two more jewelry stores. Let's make that challenge, too. The number to call is 217-244-9455. You can put your pledge on your credit card, your Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express. 217-244-9455.
And I want to let all our listeners know that if you're a student, a membership is only $25, and we will gladly send a book to anyone as a student member. You don't have to send 60 to get a copy of the book. We're here to support students. We are, of course, affiliated with the University of Illinois, and this is a nonprofit, non-commercial, public service-oriented broadcaster. So the number again, 217-244-9455. We do need your calls. And again, we know that our research shows that 90% of the people who listen to this show and who listen to WILL and are regular listeners do not contribute. And that's, you know, certainly your privilege. But just go take stand in front of the mirror and take a good, long, hard look into your eyes and sort of ask yourself what the program is. Why am I not giving money to support this? It doesn't cost much on the big scheme of things, and it's such a service to the community. It's clearly something you obviously enjoy. You're listening to. If you're not supporting us, do it. And I've got great news for you. The first time you call, and I've had this experience, you know, the first time you make that pledge, it feels so great. It's like, wow, I'm part of it now. I'm contributing. I'm supporting this show. I'm supporting non-commercial radio. I'm supporting my community having coverage and journalism that wouldn't exist otherwise. I'm part of this community. John Nichols, let's talk about something, another reason people might want to contribute, which is Sinclair Broadcasting. Which
I think that people, what was that number again? It's
244-9455, and the area code for those outside the area is 217.
I just like to keep reminding people of it because, you know, we do get off on topics, and it's important that while we're talking about things, people remember they can call in during those times. But this Sinclair fight, which I you know, people certainly heard about in the Media Minutes segment that we just had on.
Yeah.
But the Sinclair issue is a really big deal, and it has just swept across the United States. There is so much dialogue about this because I think an awfully lot of people are beginning to see the danger that occurs when you have one company owning local television stations across the U.S. and forcing a feed into those stations, i.e. forcing a national imprint onto them.
And this Sinclair owns a station, as many of our listeners know, right here in Champaign. It also owns a station in Madison.
And, you know, look, Sinclair owns stations in 11 of the battleground states, and they own three stations in south-central Ohio. They own three stations in Florida. They own two stations in Wisconsin. This is a media corporation that happens to own a lot of stations in some of the most hard-fought election battleground states of 2004. And what they're doing with their 62 stations is requiring that they broadcast a 42-minute anti-John Kerry screed that has been broadly discredited, that literally has been challenged by other media, by veterans, even people like John McCain have criticized the players who are involved in this project. It's done by a former aide to Tom Ridge, who is a member of, obviously, the Bush administration, Secretary of Homeland Security. And this so-called documentary makes wild claims about John Kerry that are just way outside the mainstream of dialogue. And yet, Sinclair is apparently, as of Thursday of this week, going to start airing it on all 62 stations across the country.
Now, John, I'm a media scholar, and I write about these issues. The letter and spirit of our Communication Act is when we give companies these broadcast licenses, like WILL gets, or any commercial broadcaster, they're getting a monopoly privilege. They're getting scarce spectrum. No one else can use that frequency. And in exchange, one of the things they're not supposed to do is use that to favor a candidate in an election, to sort of turn the election towards one candidate or another. If it's a newspaper owner, that's one thing. But a broadcaster is supposed to have some semblance of equal time running up to an election day so that they serve the community and give the voters a chance to hear all sides of the story, in theory. Why isn't that applying with Sinclair?
Well, Sinclair is stretching the limits. I mean, let's be very clear. There's a couple things that people need to understand about Sinclair that many folks don't. And first off is they are not a network. They are a media conglomerate. That means they own a bunch of stations. They don't claim to be ABC or CBS or anything like that. They physically own stations all over the country. And what they do, unlike a network, you know, if ABC puts on a program that a station in Winston-Salem or Urbana or Iowa City doesn't want to run, they can just say, we're not going to run that show. But these stations have no right to do that. They are owned by Sinclair, and they have to run what Sinclair feeds them. And Sinclair has stretched the limits on politics for some time now. They have a they're the pioneers of one-size-fits-all media. They have a production studio in suburban Baltimore where they literally feed programming out to all these stations. When they buy a station in a local market, they usually fire the local news folks, or they fire a lot of the local news gatherers, reporters, editors, and they instead feed in this drivel from Baltimore. And one of the things they do is they feed them the weather. They actually do the weather in Baltimore for places like Urbana, because then they don't have to hire a local weatherman. Now, that may sound like a good cost-cutting move, but if you've got a tornado headed toward Urbana, it can be a pretty scary thing.
Given the importance of weather to our economy, obviously, that's not
right.
A good thing.
Yeah. But then the other thing that they do is they, and this is probably the thing they're the biggest on, is they feed editorial content out from Baltimore. They've got a guy named Mark Hyman, who is their editorial director, and he's vice president of the company, which, by the way, the executives of the company are huge contributors to the Bush campaign and the Republican Party. Hyman does daily editorials for all 62 stations across the country. They have to air these editorials during their news programs, and these editorials are, I mean, they go beyond even what the Bush campaign probably wants. They are so militant in their propagandistic attacks on John Kerry and on Democrats. I just did a count for a piece I'm writing for the Nation's website, nation.com, it'll be up tomorrow, of the editorials in the last month that Mark Hyman has done for all 62 of these stations attacking John Kerry. And by my count, he's done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 editorials attacking Kerry, one editorial attacking Theresa Hines Kerry, and then two editorials attacking Democratic backers of Kerry. So when you add that up, in a month, the majority of this guy's editorials have been attacks on John Kerry. So here you have a network that is essentially giving itself over to news operations, its editorial operations, everything. In fact, I'm surprised they haven't fitted into the weather yet, to attacking Kerry. That is not what the airwaves are given to companies and station owners to do. They are given the airwaves with a great deal of freedom to express opinions, to let people have dialogue and discourse, but to turn it into pure propaganda on a daily basis and going to the point of even knocking off primetime programming to do it is an awfully extreme thing. Congressman Bernie Sanders refers to this as the Sovietization of American broadcast television. And he says, and I think he's right, if Sinclair gets away with this, if they pull this off, we really have to step back and ask ourselves, you know, who's going to be next? Is Fox going to say, hey, we got outdone by Sinclair. They were more militantly pro-Republican. And this is not the direction that we want our television media to be headed in at this point.
We're talking to John Nichols today in Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney, here in WILL AM 580. This is Pledge Drive Week on Media Matters and for WILL. We need you to call in if you're a listener and show your support for this station. We have a goal, a target today, of 100 callers to come in and make contributions. We don't care how much you contribute. Whatever you can will be great. But this is money we desperately need for new equipment, new facilities to pay our bills. This money does not go into sort of extraneous, sort of marginal stuff. This is really the heart and soul of WILL, of Media Matters, of this station. Depend upon getting listener support today at 217-244-9455. And if you do call in at the $60 pledge level, or $25 if you're a student, we will gladly give you your choice of one of three brand new books: John Nichols' new book, Dick, the Man Who's President, my new book, The Problem of the Media, or the edited collection I did with Ben Scott, Our Unfree Press, which is a collection of the finest press criticism in the United States over the past 100 years. The number again, 244-9455, area code 217. Please do call in. And we've got a caller I want to take now who's been a frequent guest on our show, Laura Flanders.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, thank you so much for joining me and John Nichols today during our pledge drive.
Oh, any time for you two.
Hey, Laura, I heard you last night on Air America.
Yeah, how's
it? Sounded great.
Yeah, you're doing the show.
Yeah,
you've been on community radio, public radio. Now you're doing the Air America show. How's that going?
Well, you know, it's true. I've sort of been part of the whole gamut here, and I certainly feel that where I come from is community radio and independent media. I don't know. I don't know how I got into this commercial forum, but heck, it's one hell of an experiment, and we're doing great. We're on like 36 stations around the country now, keep picking up new ones. You know, for people that support community and public radio, there's no more important thing to understand than this is a universe. This is a culture that we're building here, and what is created at the community level can create, a dear friend of mine used to say, you know, the independent media brings issues to the boil and the commercial media inhales the steam. You know, at this point, you know, we're lucky if they even inhale the steam, but I think Air America Radio is a great example of how what's been fomenting in the public media arena has made an inroad into the commercial sphere, and we'll see what happens. It's certainly reaching a different audience, but there's no question that what is coming to the airwaves of Air America Radio has been seeded and fed and nurtured by community media.
You know, some people criticize Air America for being sort of the liberal counterbalance to Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh. How do you respond to that criticism?
Well, I think there's a spectrum on Air America. I mean, I think there are certainly programs that do that, and I don't think that's a good job to do. It's not what I do, and I'm there doing something much more like what I do on public radio, albeit with calls and with ads and with a very different audience. But what's exciting right now about Air America is, yeah, there is a team of people fielding an alternative message with some of the same techniques and style that you find on the right. But there's also a great sense of humor, a variety of programming. It's not one note, as you'll find elsewhere.
Well, Laura, thanks so much for calling us. I know you're busy and you're taking time off on your Sunday. And good luck with the show, and we'll have you back on the air soon.
Oh, you're welcome. Good luck to you.
All right, bye-bye. That was Laura Flanders, who's been a frequent guest in Media Matters, who called in to show her support today. And now we need you to call in and show your support. 217-244-9455. We're getting, I guess, Jay Pierce, this is like entering the fourth quarter. I mean, it's the home stretch of the pledge drive for Media Matters.
About 18 minutes to go. And
how many calls do we had, Jay?
Well, I don't know. We can go out to Pledge Central.
Yeah, let's go to Pledge Central and get the word.
All right. The last tab is we had 68 calls in. That means we need 32 calls here in about the last 15 or 17 minutes here of
about
the program.
Well, we have 10 phones set up. If we roll them over three times, we're going to do it.
Hey, Jay, we've got some challenges, too, I'd like to mention.
Please do.
Bert's from Muhammad's going to add $20 for every new member until 2 o'clock, up to $200. We've had 8 in on that. We can take 2 more new members, so maybe the $40 basic membership level is right for you right now. Become on board as a new friend, and Bert will kick in an extra 20. And we have Terry Davis from Town Square Jewelers down in Charleston. He's challenging other jewelry stores to call in. He will double his pledge if 4 other jewelry stores will call in. We've heard from 2 so far, including Christopher's here in Champaign. So call right now, 217-244-9455, and make your pledge.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, we need your support. This is the time to step up to the plate. Blissfully, the next 25 weeks when you listen to Media Matters, you're going to hear a guest. You won't hear any pitches like this. When you call in, it'll just be to ask questions and speak to the sort of guests that we're able to bring to you. People like Greg Palast, people like Larry Lessig last week, people like Laura Flanders and Eric Alderman who called, and people, of course, like John Nichols, who graciously joins us for 2 hours today out of his Sunday to join us because he believes in the importance of shows like this and in the importance of stations like WILL AM 580. John, what would you say is the big media story that's missing right now? What is the media not talking about in this election that ought to be a front page story, a headline story? What is it?
Well, there's a ton of stories. It's a hard question to ask because there's so many things going on. But I actually do think that the most important story is more of a critique of the moment that has been almost lost on this campaign. Frances Fox Piven has just written a wonderful book in which she talks about the price of war. And the point that she makes is that if we just step back and look logically at what's going on right now, we have dramatically increasing military budgets. At the same time, the current administration has done several rounds of tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans, and in general tax cuts. You're in a situation where, with increasing military spending, decreasing revenues, we have a federal government that is headed for a crash. It simply is not going to have the money to function. And this is not something that's going to happen 20 years from now. This is something that will happen next year. And I really believe lost from the whole debate is the reality that as of next year, something big is going to have to happen. either we're going to have to do things like spin off Social Security into the stock market, privatizing it, going to have to shut down massive amounts of programs, or we're going to have to start withdrawing troops from Iraq or do something major, because the money just isn't going to be there to do all the things that the federal government traditionally has done. And I think it is astounding that we are about to have an election in barely 2 weeks, and most Americans aren't conscious of that reality. They aren't conscious of the fact, and it is an absolute fact, that next year America is going to have a fiscal crisis because this administration has spent 4 years running up dramatic deficits, and even the deficits aren't going to save them next year. There simply isn't, there's not even enough money to support, you know, deficit spending anymore. And so that, to me, is a huge story that's missed. And a sidelight to that story is the trade deficit. We now have, month after month, the largest trade deficits in the history of the country. More and more of our debt is owned by one country, China. And it's not to bash on China, but it's just to say that increasingly the United States is not the master of its own economic course. And these are the dialogues that ought to be had. I am sorry that Ross Perot is not running this year, because back in 92, as bad a player as he may have been, he forced people to pay attention to some of these deficit and trade deficit issues.
Mm-hmm.
They've been lost from the campaign because our media just doesn't cover economics.
Our guest today is John Nichols in Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. We need you to call and support us today, the pledge drive. We have lines open. Call 217-244-9455. We need to get 30 callers in the next 15 minutes to meet our target. Show that you support local community-oriented public broadcasting programming like Media Matters that brings guests you don't normally get. And joining us on the phone now is an old friend of Media Matters, Amy Goodman. Are you there, Amy?
It's great to be with you, Bob. Great to be with John. And folks, go to your phone, 217-244-9455. Go to your phone and let us know that you are there for Bob, for Media Matters, for all the discussion you're hearing. It is the most critical discussion of the day. I really do think that the media, that the Pentagon has deployed something more powerful than any bomb or any missile, and that is the U.S. media, and we have to unembed it. And the kind of discussion you've been hearing, please call and support Media Matters. Support public radio. Give a call to 217-244-9455, and get Bob's book. It's absolutely critical that we become media literate, because it's the way we're coming to learn about the world is through the media, and it's through a corporate lens, and it's got to change. Get a copy of Bob's book. It's $60. Get a copy of John's book, Dick, the Man Who's President. It's an excellent book, and it really lays out what Cheney's record is. Give us a call right now, because you're not going to get a more informed discussion about the media than you get on Media Matters. I mean, Bob McChesney is the leader in this country around the issue of media literacy, around the issue of media concentration and the history of the corporate media in this country, not to mention the independent media and how important it is that we shore it up. Please call and fill the lines. You can get a copy of all three books. And, Bob, you could go through the titles, Dick, the Man Who's President, The Problem.
The Problem of the Media, and then our
own, that's your book.
And then Our Own Free Press, which is the edited book on the history of the best press criticism of the last 100 years in the United States.
Wow. Our Unfree Press, The Problem
of the Media.
Of the Media. The Problem of the Media, Our Unfree Press, and Dick, the Man Who's President, for a contribution of $120, any one for $60. That includes getting this station 365 days a year. That includes getting Bob every week, Media Matters. Please go to your phone right now and make that pledge. 217-244-9455. 217-244-9455. I'm traveling around the country right now in this 100-city tour. We just left Sage Chapel at Ithaca, and we're headed to Rochester. And we are seeing the level of both crackdown but also resistance. I mean, the crackdown, not just about media, you know, in Silver City, New Mexico, a progressive talk show host, the local business in town not only said they wouldn't put advertisements during his program, that the owner of the radio station could deal with, and he was still backing him. After all, they also had Michael Savage, Rush Limbaugh, and Sean Hannity. But they said they were not going to give money to the station at all if this one voice remained on the air, and then the radio station owner said, unfortunately, he wouldn't be able to make it. He's a small-time radio station owner, mm-hmm. although he totally objected to the tactics. You have that. You have the crackdown on voter registration. You have people simply wearing T-shirts, another form of media these days, like those folks, three teachers in Oregon, in Medford, who wore T-shirts to a Bush rally that they had tickets to that said, protect our civil liberties. And they were taken out by the authorities for wearing those T-shirts. Folks, you protect our civil liberties by calling in and supporting Media Matters, 217-244-9455. The problem is the media is Bob's book. Our unfree press is the collection of edited works. And John Nichols' book, Dick, the Man Who Is President, you can get all three and the station 365 days a year for a contribution of $120. That's what? Less than 30 cents a day?
Mm-hmm.
Please go to your phone right now. We need a free media, and that's what Bob McChesney is all about. 217-244-9455.
And you also get a free pass to tune to WEFT at 90.1 FM to listen to Amy's show.
All right.
Monday through Friday.
And we're trying to get you on the television station here, too, Amy. Thank you so much for calling. You're just absolutely wonderful.
Thanks,
to do
Amy.
This on
You're a
Sunday of all things. And keep up the great work, okay?
Thanks so much.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, I mean, you've heard it directly from Amy Goodman. You've got to get on the phone. You've got to call 217-244-9455. I think Amy, like John Nichols and like myself, we travel around the country. We talk to people everywhere. We're fortunate to know when a community is served with a good radio station, when it's got local community and public broadcasters that serve the community, and how important they are to the health of the community, to its psychic, social, political health, its culture. And we've got one here in WILL. We've got to step up and support it, 244-9455. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's time to go back to central headquarters for Pledge Central.
You bet. It's been active out here, Bob. And we have met that challenge from Bert for $20 for every new member between now and 2 p.m., up to $200. Thanks a lot, Bert. However, Connie Hall from Chicago says, you know what, I'll put in $10 for every new member from now till the end of the hour. And we have had 95 calls in.
Oh, we need a whole bunch more than
Come
that.
Come on, guys. Let's go to work here.
92. Okay, 92 calls.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
down.
So let's go over that 100 mark. And
Someone
right
better
now,
not tell Amy the bad news.
Oh, yeah. 217-244-9455. Remember, you can use your credit card and place your pledge on your credit card. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express. You'll receive a Whimper map, which is public radio stations all across the country. It lets you listen to public radio wherever you go. 217-244-9455. We need at least, I would say, 10, 15 more calls.
Well, I just heard some phones go off there. That's good news.
Yeah, I hope that's no one's cell phone.
Yeah, but this is, look, the bottom line is we're down to the last 10 minutes here. And this is the time we've been talking about through the whole show.
Yeah.
And we've had dialogue about other things than that. But this is the point where people got to come and make it. Come through. Because, you know, Bob and I do travel a lot around the country, and Amy does as well. And one of the things that I know Bob and I have done in other cities is talk about Media Matters. We've said, you know, look, out in Urbana, Illinois, there is a radio show that every week takes apart the crisis of big media in this country, exposes what's going on with Sinclair Broadcasting, exposes what's going on without Fox, and points people toward important independent media like Amy Goodman's show Democracy Now!, points people toward international media like The Guardian from Great Britain and other publications that help you kind of cut through the lies of the moment. And this show is on air on a local public radio station. And, you know, when we tell people about that in other cities, yeah, they do start to find it on the web. We know that happens. But the other thing they do is that they are inspired to try similar projects at the grassroots in their own community. Knowing that there's a model out there, like Media Matters, helps other activists all over this country to realize that they can get engaged, that they can do something. So people in Champaign, Urbana, and throughout eastern Illinois, and over into Indiana, down to Kentucky, up to Chicago, need to support this program. You are not just making an investment in one radio station or one show. you are making an investment in creating a model that will inspire the whole country.
And the number again, 217-244-9455. And just to reiterate what John said, when a show like Media Matters succeeds and gets a lot of support, that's a strongest possible signal to station managers around the country. This is the sort of show listeners are going to respond to, that people want to hear. And in fact, just joining us in the studio again is Jack Brighton, who's the person I think is singularly responsible for getting Media Matters on the air at the beginning. Jack, what's the latest?
Well, I think actually you're responsible for getting the show going, and we're happy to help in whatever we can. What I wanted to add is simply this, that when Bob McChesney moved to Champaign-Urbana, we saw an opportunity. Not only he came to us with this great idea for a talk show on the media, and he's such a natural host, he brings a lot of gifts to that, but also, I mean, he is the top scholar in the United States on the history of media and its relationship to democracy. So he's not just a talk show host. He's a scholar in this field, and it's really important that he brings that perspective to it. Now, speaking to your last point, I wanted to say, yes, we've heard a lot of callers' voice support for Media Matters, but what we want to do is we want to share it with the world. We'd like to syndicate this program, and that's going to take a lot of effort and some time and some resources, so you can make a difference in helping us do that with your pledge call in the 4 minutes we have remaining in this hour. So if you haven't done it before this point, please do it now. Pick up the telephone, 217-244-9455.
Let's go back to Pledge Central. Mm-hmm. We've got some update over there.
101 is the number of calls we've
Excellent.
Had so far. And we'd
only 101?
Only 101, John.
We're
always a pessimist.
We can do better than that. 217-244-9455. Thanks to Louise Allen from Champaign. We've heard from Daryl Sweeney from Champaign. We've heard from Greg Springer, good friend of ours from Urbana. Mitchell, oh boy, I hope I pronounced your last name right. Chesapansky from Chicago.
No, you
Mitchell
didn't pronounce
is one of
it right.
Great
Mitchell.
Media activists in Chicago.
He is.
John Franzi from Matson. Just a few of the folks we've heard from this hour. Join them. Support programs like Media Matters, as we've been talking about. It's a unique show, and it's here on your public radio station. 217-244-9455.
Hey, yeah, great. John, go ahead.
Bob, we've got just 5 minutes here, I think, or very little left. And we've hit the 100 level. That's great. But we really need to go well over that. And I think that's an important message to get out to folks in these last few minutes. We need some more calls.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's nice to say, oh, we set a goal of 100, and, you know, that's a great number and stuff. But the more we go over this goal, the more we send the message that this show really matters to people in the listener area, just the on-air area, but also people around the country who are coming in online. And so I hope people will. What's the number again, Bob?
217-244-9455. And remember, John, for $60, the basic pledge, a choice of any of three books, your new book, Dick, the Man Who's President, my book, The Problem of the Media, or the anthology, Our Own Free Press, I did with Ben Scott, which has a collection of 25 or so of the finest essays on media in the last 100 years in the United States. For $120, you get all three. If you're a student, a $25 pledge is the same as a $60 pledge. You get a book. But even if you can only get $5, it's really, we're at the point where we're not adding up money. We're talking about the number of people who contribute. We just want to see people show their support for this station. It's not about, you give what you can. And some people are very fortunate. They can give a lot of money. Some people can't. We understand that. We aren't asking you to clean out your bank account or skip a meal. Give what you can. But if you value this, obviously, if you're listening to the station, you do value it. If you're taking time of your life to listen to it, then be one of the people who steps forward and help support it. Help make it possible for other people to hear the show who currently don't have that privilege.
And let me tell you just about, you know, the books that we're talking about. And we haven't spent, you know, you and I are terrible promoters in this regard. We haven't spent a lot of time talking about these books. But the Cheney book that I wrote has, it's been a wonderful ride. It's been featured on CNN and on all sorts of national public radio and Canadian TV and British TV and all sorts of other places. And the reason is, because not because I'm the greatest guy in the world, but because this is the first book that exposes Dick Cheney. If you want a tool to go into the last 2 weeks of this election campaign with a lot of information that you can talk to your Republican cousins and friends and neighbors about, Dick, the man who is president, is a useful tool. Beyond that, if you want the tools that will see you through the next year and the next 10 years, you have to get these two books that Bob has been involved with. Literally, Bob's books are the biblical texts for media reform in this country, and they are so very useful. I have people all the time. I have people come up to me and say, you know, I've just read Bob McChesney's book. It changed my life because it made me understand that I can have a role in challenging big media. I mean, you're getting a wonderful option here to get three books that really can matter in the politics of the moment and really the politics of the future. So, I mean, make that call. You got a couple minutes left. Call in, grab a copy of one book, grab all three for $120. What's the number, Bob?
The number 217-244-9455. And John, unfortunately, I hear the band tuning up in the back.